Hello and welcome to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology and an independent theologian. Anne lives in Miami, and her preaching is entitled Contemplating Today.
A reading from the prophet Malachi. Thus says the Lord God, Lo, I am sending a messenger to prepare the way before me, and suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek. That's really what today's feast of the presentation in the temple is all about, isn't it? The Lord suddenly arriving, unexpected in the temple. The messenger of the covenant that we desire suddenly present. And at first, it seems like such good news. We can hear it in Simeon's blessing of God when Jesus enters the temple. He lifts Jesus up as the salvation, the light of the whole world, the glory of Israel. Like Mary and Joseph, we are amazed. But then the prophet Malachi goes on to ask a question that should knock us off our feet. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. Well, that dampens the joy of his arrival, perhaps. Who wants to be refined in his fire? And the second part of Simeon's blessing, the part addressed to Jesus' mother, moves in a similar direction. This child, Simeon says, is destined to be the fall and rise of many in Israel and a sign to be contradicted. He tells Mary, who in Scripture personifies the people of Israel, that a sword will pass through her own soul. For with Jesus, the innermost thoughts of many will be revealed. I like thinking of Jesus in the first part of Simeon's blessing more. Jesus as salvation, light, glory. I haven't spent a lot of time until now thinking about Jesus in the second part of Simeon's blessing. Jesus as the fall and rise of Israel, a sign of contradiction, the exposer of inner thoughts. But in the past week, I've been thinking much more about what this means. This past week, because of a project I was researching, I got sucked down the vortex of the comments page on a few social media accounts of prominent Catholic influencers, if you will. And if you've ever spent any time in the comments section of such pages, and I can't say that I'd recommend it, you know how dreadful they can be, how mean-spirited and insulting, permeated with anger and outrage, polarizing. And what was interesting to me while poking around inside the bowels of these sites was how often the commenters reveled in the image of Jesus as divisive, the one who did not come to bring peace but the sword, the one who came to separate sons from fathers, daughters from mothers, daughter-in-laws from mother-in-laws, with the implication that if you can't stand what I'm saying, get out of the temple. If you can't take the heat of the insults being tossed around in here, get out of the fire. Let me be the first to say I did get out of that space. But let me also say that having passed through that fire, I don't feel more like silver or gold. I simply feel nauseated and left with the sense that something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Not just in the way that we're talking to one another, but in the way that we use Scripture to justify sinfully uncharitable behavior. If there is to be a stumbling block that trips some people up and that serves for the cornerstone for others, a block that makes some fall and others rise, that role in history belongs to Christ, not to me. And I'm definitely not thinking to online trolls. There's no virtue in being provocative for the sake of being provocative, for stirring anger for the sake of stirring anger. And yet in history, the coming of Christ, who he is and what he stands for, does force a certain kind of reckoning. One can't be agnostic about Christ or his teaching. Christ forces us to move beyond neutral curiosity and to make decisions. Where we prefer that there would be no controversy and we all could just get along and whitewash over our differences of perspective, Jesus writes our innermost thoughts like graffiti in the dirt. And often, as on the day Jesus drew in the dirt before those about to stone a woman, we discover that our innermost thoughts are really quite embarrassing, quite ugly, quite incriminating. He makes us to see ourselves and our fellow nationals as we really are. The Christ I am meeting in my life right now is one who will not allow me to be a bystander in history. He is like a sword that cuts through the national and global news of our moment in time and says, which side are you on? Neutral? Not an option here. Where I would prefer to keep my innermost thoughts to myself, he continues to nudge them out into the open to be tested and challenged and, yes, refined. Meeting Christ in the sudden temple of today is not a comfortable experience, but this kind of refining, to go back to the words of Malachi, is, I think, making my prayer more pleasing to the Lord. To contemplate today, another way of saying to be in the temple today, requires a certain degree of courage. But may each of us in our own way rejoice in Christ, who is not only salvation, light, and glory, but also the sign of contradiction, the one who pushes us out of our hiding.